This is Jim Fetzer, your host on Authentic News, right here on RBN Live this night, day of April 2024, live streaming over Speak Free Radio. A disturbing story coming from Hal Turner that Iran may be about to launch an attack. Here we have Syrian president and family evacuated, Iranian attack upon Israel, said likely within hours. Multiple sources, he reports, are indicating that Iran is going to directly initiate a response against Israel in the coming hours. This would be retaliation for Israel, bombing the Iranian ambassador's house on the Iranian ambassador's ground in Damascus, Syria, about 10 days ago. Earlier today, the Iranian foreign minister told Syrian President Assad he should evacuate immediately. There are now reports that President Assad, his family, and government have transferred to a bomb shelter during a Russian military base. Israeli television Channel 10 is telling citizens to expect an attack on Tel Aviv. Iranian airspace has allegedly been closed until April 11th. And a sign saying, "I haven't been able to verify this," is marked out, implying he has been able to verify it. Meanwhile, responsible statecraft is reporting Iran says it won't strike Israel if U.S. gets a Gaza ceasefire. If confirmed, Tehran's reported ultimatum gives Biden a chance to prevent escalation to a regional war. Iran has told the United States that it will attack Israel directly unless a Biden admin secures a ceasefire in Gaza, according to an Arab diplomatic source who spoke with Jadah Iran. The ultimatum follows an Israeli attack on an Iranian diplomatic facility in Damascus last week. The sources told Jada Iran that a ceasefire could also lead to progress on other aspects of the U.S.-Iran relationship. This comes following mediation by Oman between the U.S. and Iran. The Iranian government has yet to confirm the news, and the Biden admin has flatly denied it. But if true, this suggests some important points, namely that it's clear Iran wants to send to avoid a direct confrontation with Israel, but cannot avoid unless it secures a big win in the region. Tehran may suspect a ceasefire already in the offing, allowing it to use that as a pretext to both take credit for ending the war and avoid getting into a shootout with Israel. But significant questions surround such an approach. We have heard for months the ceasefire is close, even if that's what the Iranians believe. Setting this red line forces them to act as if a ceasefire doesn't materialize. If they don't act, then they will lose face twice. First, because Israel struck their consulate to begin with. Second, for having failed to move the U.S. even after threatening to strike Israel. Second, and this is very risky but also rather clever, if the threat compels President Biden to finally put pressure on Israel in order to avoid a regional war, Iran could take some credit for having saved the people of Gaza. And you may recall yesterday I reported that Israel allegedly is withdrawing troops from Gaza, where I think the domestic political pressure has been so enormous, so intense, that it's unavoidable. When we even have Robert Reich calling out to condemn the Biden administration when he's as left as they come, that's very suggestive that Biden's support politically is falling even more significantly. Third, this suggests Iran may have figured out how to target Israel in a way that's proportionate and does not provide Israel with grounds for further escalation. Striking Israeli consulates or embassies in the region carries tremendous political risk. Striking the embassy in Baku, for example, would unravel the very sensitive management of Iranian-Azeri relations in the midst of rising tensions in the Caucasus. This is very interesting stuff. So we'll see if it pans out. I have been concerned with a report that the United States had assured Iran that if we were to attack Israel, the United States, would not intervene, which I believe to be complete baloney, on a par with April Gillespie's assurances to Saddam Hussein that if Iraq were to enter Kuwait in order to straighten out the slant drilling Kuwait had been performing into Iraqi airfields, that the United States wouldn't oppose it, and then slaughtering the Iraqi army on the road as it withdrew. Just grotesque. Meanwhile, we have another, this is a formal notice from Iran that it's going to be launching rockets on April 10th and 11th. This is an international community norm, you know, standard procedure, so that there's no misunderstanding as to what's actually going on. Here, no Trump, that's also no, you know, flight over Iranian airspace scheduled 2 days ago, active from April 10th to April 11th. Military activity, no further details, will take place in the vicinity of Tehran, and UAVs will be mobilized in the military activity northwest of Yazd. So that's a very standard, so people understand, you know, this isn't a military operation. Meanwhile, Alistair Cook in UNZ, UNZ.com, brutal, chaotic war, norms, convention, and laws of conduct are being erased. I think this is very, very significant. We stand on the cusp of what might be termed chaotic war, not a formula used by Israel often in the past to intimidate adversaries. This is different. Israeli reporter Eddie Cohen said in the wake of the attack on the Iranian consulate, "We are very clear that we want to start a war with Iran and Hezbollah. Do you still not understand? Israel wants to drag Iran into a full-scale war in order to be able to strike at Iran's nuclear facilities. Oh, these facilities are beyond American and Israeli reach, buried beneath mountains." Cohen, of course, and of course Israel's military leadership will know that. But Israel, nevertheless, is locking itself into a logic that can only lead to defeat. Iran's nuclear facilities are safe from Israeli assault. The destruction of civilian Iranian infrastructure, which is out in the open, may kill many, but will not, per se, collapse the Iranian state. Very interesting. Meanwhile, NATO's colossal failure to weaken Russia as Ukraine's army was destroyed from Ray McGovern. Let's catch some of what he has to say.
We know after this attack in Russia, this terrorist attack in Russia, in the United States, the officials were talking about that it wasn't Ukrainians who did this, and it was ISIS. With the current information of this attack, with what we've seen so far, what's your take on this attack?
Well, Nima, the good news is that the people, the perpetrators, were apprehended. They are under investigation. And three more actually were added to the eight that they had apprehended. And so there will be revelations coming out of their interrogation. I'm told just this morning that the cell phones of several of these people who were involved have been looked at completely now, that there are further indications of affinity, at least, with Ukrainian forces and so forth, and indications that they were headed for Kiev at a warm welcome and honors as along with the rest of the money that they were promised. Now, back to the U.S. Knee-jerk, unprecedented disavowal. It wasn't Ukraine. It was ISIS. The question that you raise, of course, is, how could that possibly be, with that the U.S. would know so soon? Of course, the Russians, everyone else would ask the very same question. After all, I think that the death toll is now over 140 people at that concert. Now, I mentioned before that we do sort of evidence, right? So we construct chronologies, and And what we know is that on March the 4th, the U.S. issued a public instruction to U.S. and U.K. citizens, don't go near any big gatherings over the next 48 hours, okay? Because big gatherings like concerts should be avoided, period, end quote. Now, that's how I remember it, at least. That was a public warning, okay? What I gather from other evidence, subsequent reports, is that was the kind of warning that we gave to the Russian. Now, the CIA has told its sources to tell people like Cy Hirsch, if you can believe it, no, we gave the Russians chapter and verse. They blew it. It's Putin's fault. I wonder about that. Even the New York Times had earlier stated, yeah, we gave Russia something, but we deleted some of the major details of the attack. Whom do you believe? It's hard to say. I believe anything in the New York Times, but I prefer their rendition of this to the cockamamie thing from several CIA sources released subsequently. So I'm going on.
Very good, very good. Ray McGovern is saying, actually, in this case, the New York Times got it right, that the U.S. gave this warning to try to exonerate itself and shift responsibility to Russia, but left out key details. Meanwhile, here we have from the Truth Seeker, NATO's attempt to weaken Russia has failed colossally. This is a significant report. Actually, that's part of Ray McGovern's talk, too. Here we get a blunt truth about Ukraine from Colonel McGregor, and I'm having to reconnect. It will take a moment, Terry. But the fact is that NATO's in a very embarrassing position. Very embarrassing position, because the war has been lost. I don't see any way to recoup. And the fact is that NATO forces really are not prepared. They're not in a position to go further here in opposition to Ukraine and Russia. Here we get McGregor, Colonel McGregor, talking about a blunt truth about Ukraine. Listen up.
Actions coming near that are going to be unable to be spun in a certain sense, maybe similar to how the Afghan war finally came to an end. We span that one left and right until finally in August of 2021, the spin met reality and reality won. And I think we're heading towards a similar situation there. To try and pack this, we have the absolute cream of the crop, Colonel Douglas McGregor, on today to talk about some of these things and to really to kind of take the wheat from the chaff and kind of show you the reality from the spin and explain to you why things are the way they are. Doug, always great to have you on board, former highly decorated combat vet, CEO of Our Country, Our Choice. We'll talk a little bit more about that later, too. But, Doug, welcome back to the show.
Happy to be here.
Well, let's just jump right into it. As there seems to be every weekend, there's more fiction running around from the White House, from some of the Pentagon people. And definitely some of those leaders in Europe, as there seems to be this just continued unwillingness or inability, I don't know which it is, to acknowledge what's actually happening on the ground. And what's happening on the ground is that since that failed offensive in 2023 that the Ukraine side had, they kind of held the line for a little while, and then that started going to the west, and it's continuing on up to that point. Let me just real briefly show you and show some of the viewers here some of the things that we're talking about. And you'll see that everywhere you want to look, this is from the Institute for the Study of War And all these areas of orange and yellow you see here represent where Russia has been moving to the west. And you see every map that you want to show, some places it's more, some places it's less, but in every place it continues to show Russian advances, advance after advance after advance, all along the entire line of contact. And as long as that is going to continue on, and really I think it's going to, because there really isn't any rational reason why that's going to stop. All the fundamentals are decisively weighted in Russia's favor. So I know that map doesn't surprise you in the least.
No, although like a lot of people, I think I'm a little surprised that the Russians have continued to move quite as slowly as they have and deliberately. I think that that is in part a function of Vladimir Putin's desire to reach a negotiated settlement with the West, which isn't going to happen. And secondly, I think he continues to worry about losing his own soldiers in unnecessary operations. Remember that this was never, contrary to popular belief, as you pointed out at the beginning, about conquering Ukraine. There's no interest in that at all. And in fact, Putin went into this war with the assumption that by demonstrating the seriousness of it to Moscow, that we would somehow or another come to our senses, abandon this nonsense about incorporating Ukraine into NATO, and negotiate a settlement which would provide for Ukraine's neutrality, at which point in time, I don't think the map would have changed all that much. Now that we've had so much killing and so much bad blood over the last 2 years, I don't think there's going to be much of a negotiation at all. I think the Russians are ultimately going to draw the map they want, and I still think that will include Kharkov and Odessa. And we're seeing these sort of movements forward, but I think more of them have to do with positioning for advantage when the ground is once again firm. The ground is still very muddy. It doesn't support a lot of tracked armored vehicle movement. So I think we're talking about a major offensive all up and down the line that will move west towards the river, probably in mid-May, perhaps the beginning of May. It'll take that long, I'm told, to dry out because they've had so much snow and rain.
Well, as a matter of fact, really completely supporting that view on the Military Summary Channel, one of the best daily updates of what's going on. There was some talk today about what Russia is doing beyond the front lines and onto those very areas you mentioned.
According to different reports, the Russians are planning to establish complete blackout of a significant number of towns in Ukraine. For example, The Economist reported that it wants to make Ukraine's second city unlivable. So the Economist was talking about Kharkiv, but if you ask my opinion, Kharkiv is not the only town that suffers the same problem. Kharkiv, Dnipro, Zaporozhye, Kyiv Rih, Nikolaev, Odessa, all these towns in the very near future will be cut off.
Yeah, so he's seeming to say the same thing that you are there, that all these things along the line of contact, when there's basically five areas of creeping offensive that Russia has been steadily and methodically moving through, but they've also been simultaneously what looks like to be preparation of the battlefield in the operational depth to prepare those other areas for perhaps a larger operation, which many, I think I saw earlier that the UK open source intelligence said, they think that something is coming by May, the June timeframe, a major new strike.
Well, back in 2023, we pointed out, I think in an earlier conversation, or I certainly did, several other people, that the Russians had invested a great deal of resources in building up logistical support structure.
We'll be right back.
Picks up the rice in the church where a wedding has been. Lives in a dream, waits at the window, wearing the face that she keeps in a jar by the door. Who is it for?
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Paudi Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com. or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Russia protesting German military buildup in Lithuania. German troops arrive in Lithuania, their first long-term foreign deployment since World War II. Lithuanian leaders held an historic event as Germany Monday began deploying troops in the Baltic country, a NATO member, marking the first time since World War II. German forces will be based outside the country on a long-term basis. You have to ask, what in the world is that all about? Meanwhile, Strategic Cultures says NATO, out of desperation, is going to be resorting to false flags, phony attacks. They're going to be used against Russia or to justify other attacks against Russia. This, of course, is despicable, but it has a long history. So we want to take this seriously. It's open season for false flag provocation in NATO's proxy war against Russia and Ukraine. Finian Cunningham, this guy is really good. Russia is winning the war now in its third year, and the NATO weapon laundering scam with its neo-Nazi regime in Ukraine is coming apart. So what to do? Only 2 weeks after a terror attack near Moscow that killed 144 civilians, which the Western media roundly attributed to Islamic jihadists and Western governments categorically asserted had nothing to do with the Ukrainian regime and sponsors, there now follows a spate of other false flags. Russia is being accused of dropping chemical weapons on Ukrainian soldiers while also trying to blow up Europe's biggest civilian nuclear power plant. Over the weekend, Western media reports bore the hallmark signs of disinformation campaigns by peddling lame claims that the Russian military was dropping gas grenades on Ukrainian troops. Those were lame. But the attacks on Zaporizhzhia are not. This appears to be a Ukrainian effort, needless to say, which is moving forward, wow, here are the story. It was blocked by reader supported news, which it's very good to see how the left is reporting this. But the IAEA chief has said there were 3 direct hits on the Russian held Zaporizhzhia nuclear plant reactor, and of course those were by Ukraine. Here we have a report, the attritional art of war. Lessons from the Russian war on Ukraine. But here is some of, if the West is serious about a possibility of a great power conflict, it needs to take a look at its capacity to wage a protracted war and to pursue a strategy focused on attrition rather than munitions. Of course, they have neither. The troops, we have neither, the West has neither the troops nor the resources, the military equipment to conduct a war. It's all fantasy. Meanwhile, turning back to Israel, no words can do justice to the horrors that people in Gaza are living in. This is from the Israel-Palestine News, day 184. Human rights officials have never seen anything like Gaza. Israel's AI killer Lavender. Israeli army withdraws from a part of Khan Yunus. WCK founder says Israel is in a war against humanity. Cancer-stricken Waleed Dakar dies in Iraq, Israeli prison for medical neglect. Nicaragua takes Germany to world court over arming of Israel. More. The two Israeli actions have misfired, causing Netanyahu to back out. Moon of Alabama and Truth Seeker. Several recent incidents have increased the pressure on Israel to end its war on Gaza. There are serious signs the Israeli government, under pressure from the U.S., is now moving toward an intermediate ceasefire that all sides may be able to live with, at least for a while. The decision to do so, however, has split the Netanyahu government and may well end the coalition supporting it. After 6 months of operations in Gaza, the Israeli government has reached some of its announced aims, neither is Hamas defeated, nor have the hostages been released. There's no viable plan. Who, if not Hamas, will in the future rule Gaza? Israeli settlers have been living near the Strip and the northern border are still unwilling to return to their homes as the government lacks a plan to guarantee their security. Pressure on the Israeli government comes from several sides. The war has been extremely costly for Israel's economy. The called up reservists have been missing in their workplaces, and tourism businesses down on its knees. Providing for those hundreds of thousands who fled from their homes is costly. Large protests have erupted within Israel demanding the return of the hostages. International criticism of Israel has risen to unprecedented levels. Several UN resolutions have condemned it for its war crimes in Gaza. The International Court of Justice has ruled against it. Only the support from the United States has allowed Israel to continue, but incidents have jeopardized even that. I'll be right back.
The truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for hemp paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you. And your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects.
Email Tom at republicbroadcasting.org, T-O-M at republicbroadcasting.org.
Well, this report from Moon of Alabama is extremely important and ties back into that suggestion that there was some sort of agreement between the U.S. and Iran. Get this. Only the support from the United States has allowed Israel to continue, but two recent incidents have jeopardized it. The first was Israel's assassination of seven people who've been working for World Central Kitchen, a U.S.-based charity with good connections to Congress. 40 members of Congress, including Nancy Pelosi, have since spoken out against further unconditional support for Israel. The U.S. government under Joe Biden had to acknowledge that. It finally threatened to end its support for the Israeli government. Following U.S. threats, Israel immediately increased the provision of food to the starving population in Gaza. The defense ministry body that coordinates Israeli activity in Palestinian territory said that 322 aid trucks entered the Gaza Strip on Sunday, the highest one-day total since the beginning of the war. The second game-changing incident was the Israeli attack on the Iranian embassy building in Damascus. A hit on any embassy is a serious crime that concerns all governments of the world. Iran would be fully within its right to retaliate for such a strike because that's a sovereign territory of Iran. The U.S. was extremely concerned over this, as any Iranian response might well hit many U.S. installations in the Middle East and could escalate a wider war with severe consequences for all sides. This had to be averted. Iranian media report, and this is one of those over which I've been skeptical, but less so because Moon of Alabama is a very authoritative source. that a deal has been made in negotiation between the U.S. and the U.N. Iran will refrain from a direct attack on Israel if the U.S. guarantees a ceasefire in Gaza. That's very, very striking, very, very significant. Wow. I love it. Meanwhile, the illegal war against the Houthis isn't stopping the Red Sea crisis. The Houthis, really the Yemenis, because they control Yemen. U.S. attacks on Yemen are dangerous and unnecessary. Any real solution starts in Gaza. Because remember, the Houthis have made it clear they're only interdicting shipping going to Israel and will cease if there is a ceasefire. The U.S. is waging an illegal war in Yemen. This is coming from responsible statescraft, where major shipping routes along the country's coastlines have been disrupted by ongoing violence in the region. Despite widespread understanding in Washington that U.S. military operations in Yemen violate U.S. law, U.S. officials continue to insist they must continue their military campaign, which they say is necessary to saving time and money on commercial shipping to the Middle East. Well, that's all wrong. Just stop supporting Israel. There will be an end there to the war on Gaza. Meanwhile, Henry Mackow, the Jewish plot to destroy Christian civilization, also published in The Truth Seeker. Here we have Nahum Goldman, founder of the World Jewish Congress, is back in 1915. The historical mission of our world revolution is to rearrange a new culture of humanity, replace the previous social system. The conversion and reorganization of global society requires two essential steps. Firstly, the destruction of the old established order. Secondly, design and imposition of the new. The first stage requires elimination of all frontier borders, nationhood, and culture, public policy, ethical barriers, and social definitions. Only then can the destroyed old system element be replaced by the imposed system elements of our new order. The first task of our world revolution is destruction. If we, Henry Mackow writes, we can't defend ourselves and we can't even name the enemy. We face an occult force. Organized Jewry and its minion Freemasonry are dedicated to destroying civilization. The plandemic was inspired by the satanic doctrine of creative destruction, founded in Kabbalah, Judaism, and Freemasonry. Add the migrant invasion, gender madness, and the gratuitous war in Ukraine, and it's clear that organized Jewry, the Rothschilds, the World Economic Forum, is determined to destroy the West. They require the destruction of the old order, which was dedicated to fulfilling God's will. Then the Great Reset will create a new world order dedicated to serving Satan, hell on earth, Satanism. I wish I could tell you he's got it wrong. I'm only afraid he's got it exactly right. Meanwhile, Brother Nathaniel talks about the three stages of world domination. He's a wonderful guy.
It fits what's happening today, said Henry Ford Sr. He was talking about the protocols of the learned elders of Zion, and he saw it unfolding right before his very eyes. As Jewish kids, we were forbidden to read it. But kids find ways to break what's forbidden just to find out why. The book, with so many layers of intrigue, was too much for me as a kid. But today, like Henry Ford, it fits. What crystallizes in my mind about the protocols are the stages of world domination that world Jewry is pursuing. Stage one, control of money. Private Jewish banks in Germany, France, England, Sweden, Switzerland, and last, America, with the Federal Reserve, the Fed, have set up central banks which counterfeit money legally. They are answerable to no one.
What is the proper relationship? What should be the proper relationship between a chairman of the Fed and a president of the United States?
Well, first of all, the Federal Reserve is an independent agency, and that means basically that there is no other agency of government which can overrule actions that we take.
Stage two, control of politicians. This stage has a double module, media and campaign coffer. For example, Illinois Senator Charles Percy, former head of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, refused to sign AIPAC's Letter of 76, protesting its reassessment of Middle East policy, which favored Israel over the Palestinians. The Jews got to work to get rid of Percy. The Jewish-owned press did a smear campaign of Percy and propped up the unknown Paul Simon. Simon enjoyed wonderful press, found his campaign coffers filled to the brim by AIPAC and its billionaire sponsors. Percy's honorable career bit the dust. Stage three, destruction of the church. This is a three-pronged attack. First, attack the mores of the church by subverting honorable marriage and instead promote sexual perversion. Rachel Levine is the visual meme the Jewish power gleans that it's okay to distort one's sexual identity and physical attributes. Second, attack the youth through the schools, especially to hate their race, the white race, which historically has opposed Jewish dominance. Third, infiltrate the church with evangelical Israel lovers, an antichrist state, and with partisans of homosexuality. Pull the stages together, control of money, control of politicians, control of the church, and you got a recipe for world domination. The demographics are there. World Jewry runs a tight trading, economic, religious, jurisprudence, and academic network globally. It's not too late to put the brakes on Jewish world domination. I think the noticing has already begun.
Very good, Brother Nathaniel. Meanwhile, U.S. economic decline and the rise of the greater Eurasia is a fact. We have Castro Jr., and yes, Justin Trudeau is the son of Fidel Castro, changes Canada into a communist police state. This is disturbing stuff. Once again, the truth seeker is nailing it. Controlled by such WEF sock puppets, Western governments have gone rogue. Now that life is becoming unaffordable, Westerners are beginning to notice. What is most disturbing about this unprecedented case is that if the prosecution gets its way, all the evidence produced by the state claiming that COVID vaccines are safe and effective will be deemed indisputable, irrefutable, and Dr. Hoff would not be able to defend himself or call extra witnesses. In other words, a Stalinist show trial designed to intimidate all doctors and patients who value medical freedom of choice, right to a fair trial, freedom of speech, and medical ethics are at stake in a case against a doctor in Canada, where the government proceeds by assuming a position, taking for granted, for example, that COVID is okay, that it's good for you, or taking for granted that Sandy Hook was a real mass shooting. And then all else follows from them begging the question by taking it for granted. Meanwhile, we have much more concern about a bridge in Baltimore. Laura Logan has been all over this. It appears to have been a cyber attack taking control of the ship. And those who have seen the footage I showed right off the back showed how the ship took a dramatic turn in order to hit the pillar and bring down the bridge. Meanwhile, in nearly 70% black Baltimore, there are more than 15,000 properties going for a dollar. 100 years ago, Baltimore was 88% white. How much do you think these properties were worth then? A dollar. Are they going to put the illegals in those dollar? No, don't bet your life on it. They want to dump us there. Meanwhile, Trump rakes in $100 million in one night, but Israeli advocate Addison still holds out. Why? Perhaps because Trump refuses to say he's with Israel 100%, saying blowing up buildings doesn't make them look tough. I mean, I'm very relieved to hear this amount of acknowledgement from Trump. This is from Information Liberation. Former President Trump, in an interview Thursday, refused to say he's standing 100% with Israel. He said the state decision to blow up buildings in Gaza doesn't make them look tough. Trump made the comments in an interview with host Hugh Hewitt, who can be seen prominently flying an Israeli flag in his studio. Bad, bad for Hewitt. Good for Trump. No doubt that's why Adelson is holding out. He's been Trump's biggest supporter in the past. He may think Trump isn't completely reliable in relation to Israel. I hope he's right. Meanwhile, Trump releases long-awaited abortion position, says policy should be left to the state. House Republican chair claims, and this is very troubling, Russian propaganda has infiltrated a chunk of the GOP base. No, what's happened is Israeli or Zionist propaganda has infiltrated elements of the Congress. Why would that be surprising? He's got it inverted. Meanwhile, Gateway Pundit reveals Joe Biden's military can't reach its recruiting quotas. After America's embarrassing surrender to Afghanistan, the military under Biden has not been able to match its recruiting goals. During fiscal year 2023, the military services collectively missed recruiting goals by about 41,000 recruits. Meanwhile, the military brass continues to push a culture of pro-DEI lunacy while targeting gays and minorities for promotion. Then this video went viral, showing the military treatment of U.S. Air Force senior airman Lance Castle, a service member who refused a mandatory vaccine. Impressive. Here we got the video. Let's see.
There's one simple thing that anyone can do. Yeah, of course we got to balance their blood sugar every night before they go to bed.
How I relieved my irritated sciatic nerve in a
few minutes. That's what. Pretty soon you'll have to work your way through 10 commercials. Here it is.
Take your blanket out. Put it away. Are you choosing to be non-compliant? Are you choosing to be non-compliant?
I think they're about to beat the shit out of him. Oh, yeah. This is 5 or 6 brutally beating up a guy who refused to take the vax.
Stop resisting.
Oh, God, this sucks. This sucks.
I'm going for his left arm. Stop resisting. Stop resisting. You will get tagged. You will get tagged.
Just wait.
Stop resisting or you will get tagged.
Angle's on.
Do you hear me? Do not move.
What are they going to do? They're going to shoot him? They're going to vax him? I'll bet you anything. Oh, shit. That looks like what they're doing. This is disgusting. Disgusting. Disgusting.
Use your other arm.
I can't.
Why the hell would anyone go into a military like that that treats its personnel so abusively? Meanwhile, Dwayne The Rock Johnson dumps Joe Biden, admits he regrets having endorsed him in the past. Here we get. With each passing day, more and more Americans continue to sour on Joe Biden, not excluding big-name celebrities who were happy to endorse him in 2020. Fueled by their program hatred of President Donald Trump, many jumped at the opportunity to do whatever they could to help get rid of him in the 2020 election. However, they're now realizing they were lied to and are turning against a dementia-riddled Democrat. One of the biggest names to do so is Dwayne The Rock Johnson, who now says he regrets endorsing Biden in the 2020 race and refuses to do so again in 2024. He revealed he's not in any way satisfied with the job Biden has done. Am I happy with the state of America right now? Well, the answer is no. Do I believe we're going to go better? I believe that. I'm an optimistic guy. I believe we can get better. But while he thought at the time endorsing Biden was the best decision for him at the time, he now realized it was a mistake. And I'm going to do that again this year? The answer is no. He wanted to say he prefers his political beliefs to himself, suggesting that he's fallen short of endorsing Trump for fear of cancel culture. We'll be right back. I never needed anybody's help in any way. Now these days are gone, I'm not so self-assured. Now I find a change of mind and open up the doors.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Black Owl Coffee, and I started Black Owl because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Gilad Atzmon says the essence of Jewish power is the ability to prevent the discussion of Jewish power.
Jewish power requires anybody in politics to understand it and know about it, but never talk about it.
My Awakening really sums up with the very best evidence, the facts and the truth about race, and the fact that race drives history, and the truth about the Jewish question.
The younger you get, the greater the percentage of people who identify as alphabet soup, you know, LGBTQ, RS.
This woman, she's like, oh yeah, I identify as a koala 2 years ago. And I'm like, what?
A koala?
What? Maybe if it was Quickie Koala, that might be cool, but otherwise, you know. How about an N-word pass? Have you ever received an N-word pass from any of your black friends?
Biden invited a drag queen to come for the signing of the Respect for Marriage Act. It's the Respect for Anal Sex Act. So, yeah, I mean, let's just call it like it is.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read one. This product has been a godsend for my father, who suffered from a heart attack about 2 years ago. He was prescribed medications for his condition, which was so serious, he almost died. But he hasn't been able to afford most of the medications. After researching alternatives that were more affordable, he tried Extendivite. Since taking it, he has consistently lower blood pressure and experiences less angina. We are currently on our fifth bottle. I enthusiastically recommend this product, and I am grateful that it is available. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite. I look at all the lovely people. I look at all the lovely people.
Helena Rigby picks up the rice in the church where a wedding has been. Lives in a dream, waits at the window, wearing the face that she keeps in a jar by the door. Who is it for? All the lonely people. Where do they all come from? All the lonely people. Where do they all belong?
Well, a half a dozen more stories I'll mention and then discuss one or two in greater detail. Andrew Schultz rips Ben Shapiro after the Candace Owens firing. Candace is fantastic. Ben Shapiro, a propagandist, is not. This is crazy. Fetterman, who may turn out to be a good guy, tears into squatters' rights laws and soft-on-crime policies. In other words, he's ripping the Democrats a new one. I love it. Barack Obama sat on stage in disbelief as this horrible scene played out before his very eyes. I'll return to this. Proposed Orwellian legislation to force COVID vax. We may not be done with the vax. We got to make damn sure we aren't forced to take it. It is the death jab. Have no doubt about it. Fewer Americans want to buy an EV. Even as Biden pushes for the strongest ever climate change rules, the whole EV phenomenon is dead in the water. There are all these EVs on all the car lots in the country that aren't moving. Nobody's buying. They're trying to get rid of them with massive discounts. It's been a disaster. Simple economics. Buyers not being sold this propaganda bullshit have refused to go that route, and well, they should. Meanwhile, a billion-dollar Pfizer scam for Paxlovid COVID-19 pill at taxpayer-funded. That's going to be another way they want to kill us, put it in a pill? Let me pick up on Fetterman. This is actually good. From Zero Hedge. John Fetterman has blasted the idea of squatters' rights, questioning laws that would allow interlopers on a property to claim ownership over the rightful owner, calling it a case of just breaking the law. Squatter right laws allow any illegal occupying another person's property to claim ownership if they're not evicted after a certain period of time. Also known as adverse possession laws, they're in effect in all 50 states, but enforcement differs significantly. Fetterman, in an interview on April 6th with the New York Post, said he had extensive experience with his laws while he was mayor of Braddock, Pennsylvania. In some cases, they can come into effect after only 30 days of illegal occupation. It's wild that if you go away on a long trip for 30 days and someone breaks into your home and suddenly they have rights, this is crazy. Like if somebody stole your car and they held it for 30 days and somehow you don't have any rights and they own the car, good for Fetterman. He may turn out to be a good guy after all. Meanwhile, Barack Obama sat on stage in disbelief as this horrible scene played out before his very eyes. It was pro-Palestinian protesters interrupting a star-studded Biden fundraiser. I love it. Biden attended a fundraiser at Music City Hall, but it was disrupted by pro-Palestinian protesters. Oh, I love it. I'll be back and take your calls.
There, are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new ease-off drop-and lift?
What in the world is an ease-off drop-and lift?
Our ease-off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the ease-off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my ease-off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Sleeping, while my
Well, welcome to the second hour of Authentic News right here on RBN Live this night of April 2024, where I take your calls, and we have several already on the line. Paul in New Jersey, you're first up. Paul, join the conversation.
Hello, Dr. Fetzer. I'd like to talk about the problem with the right-left paradigm.
Sure.
And what it really comes down to is there is really no right-left paradigm that we are offered in our election ballots. We're offered either a corporate-approved right and a corporate-approved left, and they're both in the center. The far left and the far right are always excluded from public discourse. And so, you know, the electorate, the people, they don't, you know, like ever countenance or consider those as viable, you know, like electable candidates. So, and that's why I put so much of the political situation in the United States, not on the politicians in the voting system, it's on the people themselves, because they lack imagination. And they still believe in the corporate right-left paradigm, which is where they say, oh, that candidate can't win. Oh, I'm throwing my vote away. Oh, you know, it's the lesser of two evils. And it goes on every 4 years. And now I briefly want to tell you who I voted for, and I'll do it quickly. In 80, I voted for Reagan. And then after I found out he was a spendthrift, in 84, I voted for a third-party candidate, John Anderson. Then in 88, when it was the CIA, George Bush Sr. running, I thought he was so despicable, I voted for Dukakis. Then in 92, I voted for Ross Perot. In 96, I voted for Harry Brown and the Libertarians. In 2000, I voted for Ralph Nader. In 2004, I voted for the Constitution Party. I think it was Howard Phillips. And up until Trump, I voted for the Constitution Party. And then I voted for Trump the first time. Trump ran up the debt $7 trillion, kind of like Ronald Reagan. And so in 2020, I voted for Don Blankenship of the Constitution Party. And, you know, people wonder why these politicians stick to the center right and the center left. Well, first of all, that's where the money is. But second of all, they don't see any rewards in voting to actually position themselves to go either to the far right or the far left. And that's because they don't, you know, they don't see enough votes there. Now, and that's what burns me up about people on this network, and they are white men, right? And they're frustrated about the political, you know, lack of choices. And they still won't, you know, it's too much for them to drive down to their voting booth and vote for a third-party candidate. But the point is, you know, there's about, typically in an election, there's about 30-40% of the population. They're so disheartened, they don't go out to vote. Now, if those people went out to vote and voted for, let's say, the Constitution Party, the Republicans, seeing that, wow, look at that big block of votes from the Constitution Party, I think I'll adopt some of their campaign positions and co-opt them and make them my own to get their votes. And then that would shift the center-right Republicans to the further-right Constitution Party. And so it really burns me up listening to these guys like Mike Gaty and the rest of these guys. A lot of them are Southern gentlemen. And they're so cynical about the political realities. And I'm cynical, too. Don't get me wrong. But I realize we have to try to work on creating viable third parties. And remember that when you triangulate something, it throws off the election results, like why George Bush Sr. was defeated in 92. It was because of Ross Perot. And people didn't vote for Ross Perot to get Clinton in. They voted for Ross Perot because they didn't like George Bush Sr., and they didn't like Clinton either. That's one of these common platitudes you always hear about people who are like, oh, well, that's if you vote third party, you're giving away Biden's vote. I mean, please.
Paul, you've done a good job of laying out your case for voting for alternative candidates than those put up by the Democrats and the Republicans. I think you have argued it very well. Give us a final thought.
Well, I just urge people out there who are frustrated with the, like I said, the corporate center. And that's the real, I wouldn't call it a paradigm, but that's the political reality. It's the corporate center which is the problem, because one of the major problems in this oligarchy is that we're ruled by a corporate fascist oligarchy. We have to start voting outside of this two-party system and look for ulterior candidates. And on that note, Dr. Fetzer, thank you.
Well said, Paul. Dan in Washington. Dan, join the conversation.
Yeah, thanks for taking the call. I have voted for Pat Buchanan myself, whenever that was. I always say me and about 10 other people voted for Pat Buchanan. Yeah.
He's actually a very smart guy. I think Pat Buchanan has a lot of merit.
Yeah, I agree. I thought he was great. He was Trump before Trump was Trump, you know, and I think America first and all that stuff.
In a way, I think that's right, Dan. Yeah, continue.
Well, I didn't hear the first part of the show, but Charlottesville, I was thinking about that. Now, they planned on saying, you will not replace us, and somebody started chanting, Jews will not replace us. So, you know, was that some kind of someone in there trying to make him look bad or not? But
I apologize. I said I was going to verify that, and I have neglected to do that. Yeah, but I was in contact with a party I wanted to confirm with, and I will get back on that because it's a great question. Go ahead, continue.
I know most, I wasn't there, but most of the people that are there didn't mind, though. And I think for me at that time, with the alt-right coming together, white nationalism, that whole thing, that was probably the most important political moment in my life. You know, I think that was like a shot heard around the earth, as they say, and I think it showed the world that we don't like globalism and the mass immigration. And, you know, it did more than 40 years of Rush Limbaugh or Sean Hannity or Reagan or any of this crap, you know, because it made it very down to the point. And, you know, that's kind of what Paul was saying. What made me mad is even if, you know, so-called Republicans didn't want to be that hardcore, they were the biggest ones stabbing those guys in the back instead of standing up for free speech, you know, which they could have done. They could have just said, hey, if I don't agree with that, they have a right to say it. They didn't. You know, you had Mitt Romney out there marching with Black Lives Matter with his mask on. You had Bob Barr was going after, like, Richard Spencer. And that Jewish attorney, Barbara Lipstadt? You know, they had this Judge Moon. Half of his staff were basically dual Israeli citizens. So you had, like, an Israeli group suing Americans for exercising their free speech, you know, and it really showed, you know. And I have no confidence, kind of like Paul was saying, in the corporate right wing or anything. I think they go along with everything because they're basically they'll go along with Antifa or anti-fascists before they will ever go along with white nationalism. And, you know, and you got to remember, too, that's how the system was set up after World War II. This whole left-right system was set up to prevent National Socialism from ever popping up or fat. You know, it's all centered around just stopping that. So, yeah, the whole system, anyway, has to come down. But and what do you, was that an important moment, do you think? I mean, that went out. Now, I think it went out around the world. You know, people in the Middle East, people in China, Germany.
God, just
showed you that. You know,
I'll just tell you, I'm so disappointed in the University of Virginia because I notified every member of the Department of History, save one. Philip Zelikow is the executive director of 9/11 and who I believe authored the script for 9/11, where his area specialization in the university before he entered government was the creation and maintenance of public myths, M-Y-T-H-S. And that's what he gave us for the 9/11 script. They're like 80 members of the Department of History. And I wrote them and I gave them videos showing the car crash was staged, two different cars, two different drivers. The whole thing had been a hoax. And not a damn one replied, with a sole exception, who said she was embarrassed that I'd taught at the University of Virginia twice. That's how much they cared about the hoax being perpetrated right in Charlottesville. Now, as far as the significance, well, this was Terry McAuliffe. This is Hillary's buddy. He was a governor overriding the left-wing mayor of Charlottesville so he could use the state police to channel the peaceful protesters who even had a permit into a violent confrontation with Antifa and Black Lives Matter, bussed in by George Soros, often on the same bus. And the whole Antifa thing is such a sham. They're not anti-fascists. They're fascists. And all the looting, you know, all the everything that happened, the summer of love was all condoned and encouraged by the Democrats, that there wasn't enough looting, there wasn't enough arson, there wasn't enough mayhem taking place in the streets of America to satisfy them. I think in many ways these events tied together to create a lot of chaos in America and contributed, along with COVID, to the destruction of the middle class, because so many businesses were being looted and torched, and, you know, and they've allowed shoplifting to go on. It is a disgrace. The Democrats have totally sold out, and they are no longer representatives of or contributing to American society, rather, on the contrary, to its destruction. So, Dan, you're making...
I would agree with that. But, you know, I would add, though, the only reason the Democrats can get away with it is because the Republicans cuck out, as they say. When the crap hits the fan, the Republicans will side with Antifa against, you
well,
know,
that's
white
where,
guys trying to
that's
just where, have that, political representation.
That,
you know?
That's where Trump, with all his flaws, comes in, because I think he doesn't buy any of that happy horse shit. I think he really does want to put America first, and I'm very glad to see him saying he's not 100% for what Israel's doing, and that it may be that Iran has been able to bring some pressure onto Biden. And even you got Barack Obama, you know, a big fundraiser, and they're getting pro-Palestinian, anti-Israel protests. That's not what they want to see. I think they know they got a big problem. And when you got real polling showing that Biden's support is down to 8%, think about it, and even dropping because of Palestine. I mean, they got nowhere to go. I think if they're going to steal the election, they have to have a plausible candidate, and that ain't Joe Biden. Give us a final thought, Dan.
Yeah, I agree. I was sad to see they, under Obama, the Republicans caved in like they always do, and they passed the hate speech or the hate crimes law, and I think they'll eventually cave in and pass the hate speech law. You know, because the Republican Party it hasn't changed either. It's gotten worse. Mitch McConnell's still there. All you have is Trump.
No, Mitch is on the way out, Dan. Get up. He's going out. Look, thanks for the call, Dan. Very, you made a lot of great points. You got it. Chance in West Virginia. Chance, join the conversation.
Yes, hello, Jimbo. How are you?
Good.
You know, as for me, I won't vote Democrat or Republican. I only vote for third parties, or I won't vote at all. That's the bottom line. And speaking of fundraising, have you heard that Melania Trump just raised funds for the Log Cabin Republicans? You know who they are, don't you?
Yeah, they're gay Republicans.
There you go. So now what does that tell you now? I can't understand the people's fascination with Trump. You know, he's Zionist control, just like the overwhelming majority of all Republicans and Democrats. But, Jim, what amazes me is that you can see who the main enemy is while being an agnostic. And most Christians can't identify the enemy while their own Bible tells them in so many Bible verses who the enemy is.
Yes.
I mean, I'm amazed.
Yes.
I can't, you know, this is why I respect you. Yes, sir.
Well, I appreciate that, champ. I do know if a lot of Christians don't spend a lot of time on the Bible or don't believe the words they're reading because there's so many endorsements of genocide. You know, I mean, it's just outrageous what you actually find there if you take a look, and it's a lot of it's very bad. I think this fundamental tension between Judaism and Christianity is something that has not been appreciated by the Christian churches, that the Jews do not recognize Jesus even as a prophet. Islam recognizes Jesus as a prophet and Moses and Abraham. Christianity and Islam are very tolerant of other religions, certainly more so than the Jews who reject any other religion. In fact, you can find passages there encouraging Jews to kill, to slaughter those who are non-Jews. I mean, it's explicit, and the further you dig, the worse it gets. So I'm inclined to agree with you, Chance. Say more.
Yeah, and you know, I hear people criticize these communist politicians, you know, and I can understand that. But you know what? It's useless. Because to get rid of all the communists, you have to attack the source of their power, the ones who control them. You know what I'm saying? They're doing what they're doing because they're controlled. You have to attack the problem at the source, and that'll correct everything.
Well, you got this most powerful financial family, the Rothschilds, industry, empire, wealthiest in the world, who really own the media, own AP, own Reuters, and control most of the members of Congress through APAC. Sure, so we got a hell of a problem, Chant. Go ahead.
And all the Jewish political action committees, lobbying groups. I mean... This is who's got you. You got to bring them down, and then the system will somewhat, hopefully, be corrected.
Right. JFK wanted the World Jewish Congress, which preceded them, to be registered as a foreign agent. But Lyndon let that go, of course, just as he reversed Jack's decision to pull all our forces out of Vietnam by the end of 1964. He gave the generals the war they wanted and throw in with him and taking out JFK. I mean, it's a really disgusting.
One question before I go. What do you think about Melania doing this with the Log Cabin Republicans?
Oh, I think it's just a political gesture. I mean, for her to do that, it's intended to show that they're not homophobic. I don't think it's a big deal.
Well, that's what's important in today's society with all the problems we have, kissing the homo's ass. I mean, think about it.
If Trump were doing this, if that were a centerpiece for Trump, it'd be different. I don't think Melania doing it is particularly significant. I think it's just a way to show he's not going to turn down votes just because people happen to be gay. That's my take, Chance. Thanks
all
for
right,
the call.
Jimbo, take care now.
Thanks. You got it.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
Do you begin to smell some funky little things going on? Let me share this story with you. It's not so much a story, it's something I wrote years ago. Read your history, people. Stock markets collapse on Friday. Bank seizures, closures, holidays take place after business hours on Friday. Do currencies or governments also collapse on Friday? Tomorrow's Friday. Will the end come on this Friday, or will the inevitable collapse hold off for a while? The next round of the worst financial crisis in 100 years is coming, people, and the government is out to make you and I pay for it. And will your savings survive a global banking wipeout? What happens when the U.S. sees hyperinflation? What if taxes soar not only for the rich? Can you survive if the stock market tanks? Look, between a stock market wipeout, waves of bank failures, soaring government spending that will lead to hyperinflation, and the destruction of the dollar's value, isn't it time that you prepare for the uncertainty which lies ahead? Protect your money now or forever kiss it goodbye. My friends, I offer you over 6 decades' experience of hard asset ownership and knowledge, and I'm prepared to handle the smallest detail in the balanced protection of your portfolio. For as the future of uncertainty continues to blanket this nation of ours, I believe that I can offer you the privacy, safety, security, and possibly some profitability which you deserve. And so I invite you to visit SierraMontrePreciousMetals.com for further information regarding protecting your wealth. Or call me, Jeffrey Bennett, at 602-799-8214. Or by email at KettleMoraine, Ltd. at Cox.net for private consultation. Once again, our phone number, 602-799-8214. It's almost Friday.
Our next caller on the line, Daniel in Canada. Daniel, join the conversation.
Oh, hey there, Dr. Fetzer. I haven't called you since you were a guest on Michael Rivero's show. I used to be on YouTube, have different channels back when it was the Wild West. And I used to focus on Sandy Hook quite a bit. I was part of making that documentary, We Need to Talk About Sandy Hook, listed on the credits at the end. Yeah.
Very
so,
good.
Anyways, I know there's a lot of, sort of smoking gun points that, you and Wolfgang, brought up over the years. And there's a couple of little things that I'd like to add today to anyone who's interested. I think Sandy Hook still matters.
Yes.
These staged gun grabs are, they're not going to go away. The Connecticut State website, I guess it must have been a Freedom of Information release, or they just decided to throw out their what they considered evidence. They got a lot of high-resolution photographs of the Nancy Lanza home, where Adam Lanza lived with his mother, allegedly, if you believe he existed, which I don't. But if you look in some of them, there's one in particular that I just thought was puzzling. So they've got this photograph of the liquor cabinet in the kitchen. It's above the sink, and all the bottles are pretty recognizable, like tequila, Kahlua, that kind of thing. But curiously, all the bottles are faced the other direction, so you can't see the labels. Now, I'm just thinking, like, did Nancy Lanza do that, or did they, you know, think to themselves when they're staging this thing, like sort of a Hollywood production, that you can't really show those logos unless you have a product placement deal? So I thought that was quite interesting. Like, who actually has every single liquor bottle in their liquor cabinet with the label facing backwards?
You make a nice point, Dan. That's just ridiculous. You do the opposite. You have the label showing so you know exactly what you got there. And people are usually glad, you know, they're proud of their liquor cabinet because they have stocked the liquor cabinet. And when you're doing crime scene photographs, they're obviously not going to be constrained by a licensing agreement. They should have taken the ordinary photographs. It should have been an ordinary scene. So you make a very small point, but it's devastating, nevertheless, that the whole thing was rigged. It was a setup.
Yeah, it just adds one more thing, you know. And, you know, any real evidence photos, like you say, would not be tampered with. If anything, they would show that fingerprint dusting powder to see if Adam Lanza had drunk alcohol that morning. You know, maybe he was drinking. They could have, you know, had some kind of evidence to that effect. Another thing was his AAA, the American Automobile Association card. So this is a card that you keep on hand when you're driving. And if you get a flat tire and you need help fixing it. Anyways, I saw a picture and I jotted down the number and I tried to renew his number on their website, but they didn't recognize the number. So it just looked like another phony sort of fake ID kind of thing that they throw in there. One more thing.
Wait a minute. I didn't even think he could drive. I mean, you know, the whole thing's ridiculous. Of course, he's supposed to have driven over to the school, but it's like him supposed to have some experience with marksmanship. The ATF guy responsible found no evidence that he or his purported mother had ever gone to any marksmanship range or had any experience or familiarity with firearms. I mean, this whole thing was such bullshit from beginning to end. Go ahead, Daniel.
Yeah, they and on that same subject, in order to give you the illusion that he and his mother were on shooting ranges, in his room, this was the second point I was going to make, behind a couch, and these are really high-resolution photographs, so I was able to, like, zoom in quite close, and, you know, it's probably still up somewhere if you dig around. In the back of the couch, there's a shooting range target in Adam Lanza's room. He's got the windows all blacked out with black plastic garbage bags. If you zoom in really close, you can see FBI use only on the corner of the target.
Oh, I love that. Oh, that's wonderful. Wonderful. It was the FBI planted the evidence. That's so sensational. I love it. Let me say, you know, the Connecticut State Police appear to have been running the whole show behind the scene. And in my efforts to get the Supreme Court to take a look at the abuse of me in the courts of Wisconsin, I'll come back to this. You stick around, Daniel, right after the break.
All right.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
homeowners. Are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home.
Email Tom at republicbroadcasting.org. T-O-M at republicbroadcasting.org.
Did you know that essential oils have had a multitude of natural health and skin uses in history, but have been somewhat forgotten by recent civilization? Susanna's Secret offers 100% pure natural oils at prices you can actually afford. Do you have a house or office with a musty smell or mold? Studies have shown that essential oils like the one in our Thief and Robbers blend will kill or inhibit mold, viruses, bacteria, and fungus. Just diffuse with it, and you will see the long-lasting effects that even synthetic chemicals don't achieve. Purifica, another one of our products used to clean and freshen your house or give a natural scent when drying laundry. For that special lady, we offer a ginger argan oil in a beautiful cosmetic bottle, or a pure argan oil, a natural acne-fighting product. Check us out at SusannaSecret.com. That's S-U-S-A-N-A-S, Secret.com. S-U-S-A-N-A-S, Secret.com.
Tehi Boti Club's original Pure Pau de Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com, or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
Help, I need somebody. Help, not just anybody. Help, you know I need someone. Help! When I was younger, so much younger than today, I never needed anybody's help in any way.
Daniel, as you probably know, I was, of course, sued for defamation for suggesting a death certificate that a guy calling himself Leonard Posner had put up on a blog and shared with my colleague Kelly Watt, which was incomplete. It had no file number, no town or state certification, was fake. We're under Connecticut law. Not even parents are allowed to possess incomplete death certificates, where I even had two forensic experts in my support that death certificate and three others that had been introduced in the case at that point in time were all fake. In Wisconsin, the judge is just allowed to set aside evidence he considers to be unreasonable. So if he takes for granted that Sandy Hook was real, then, of course, any evidence to the contrary can be dismissed as unreasonable, which I find to be completely absurd, completely wrong. I took it all the way to the Supreme Court. And when I filed an appeal for reconsideration after the court declined, I included sets of appendices A through D that included the original decline by the court, then the FEMA drill manual, then the Connecticut's Bridgeport agenda, showing that the exercise L-366 was right on the schedule. And they even sent along a map as to how to get from Bridgeport down to the school in Sandy Hook, which, by the way, wasn't even an elementary school. It was actually a special needs school. Then a photograph, you know, the crime scene vehicle and the scene before they finished setting the stage, because they hadn't damaged the windows in classroom 10 as yet. So, I mean, that single photograph is conclusive proof it was a fraud. But then Appendix E, Ida, Texas, licensed private investigator, got into the Sandy Hook, the state police files on Sandy Hook, and discovered photographs that contradict the official narrative, like down a hallway where there's supposed to be the bodies of Mary Sherlock and Don Hoffspring, the psychologist and the principal, and pools of blood. There are not only no bodies, no pools of blood. In a classroom where there's supposed to be a stack of bodies, not only no bodies, but not even any desks or chairs for students, and all the furniture shoved up against the wall. Meaning what he found not only proved it wasn't a mass murder, but it wasn't even an operating school. But that's all in my Appendix E. And if you go to my blog at jameshfetzer.org and do a search on the demolition of justice in the USA, I talk about five different cases where the courts have been utterly shams and irresponsible, and you can get the link directly to those appendices. And I also added there an interview I did, SGT Report, Never Speak of This, where Sean and I discussed, I explained to him how I'd been in communication with participants in the drill for over 2 years now. The gal who was cast as Emily Parker, little blonde-haired, blue-eyed girl, real name, Margaret Alice Cottle. Vicky Soto, the teacher, is supposed to have given her life, real name Victoria Relio. She's actually the daughter of the new town clerk. I lay it all out there. And you and others, you know, you'd be welcome to share that far and wide, Daniel, but I'm just telling you that the extent to which this was a fraud and the courts have stood up for it to cover it up is mind-boggling.
Yeah, it never ends, and it's like a thread on a sweater. You just pull it, and it just keeps unraveling. I admire your work. I've followed you for a number of years. Going back to 9/11, when you were on Alex Jones' thing in Los Angeles, I believe.
Yeah.
I actually ordered a copy of that from C-SPAN. I still have that.
Yeah. You're talking about the panel discussion on Sunday, but, you know, on Saturday, Alex had me as the keynote speaker at his conference, American Scholars Conference, there in Los Angeles, and in 2006. I mean, I was the keynote speaker. I don't know why I've not seen, there's got to be video of it, but I'd love to see the video of that, because I do have, as you have, the C-SPAN. That was an hour and 45 minutes, and all the panelists were members of Scholars for 9/11 Truth, which I'd founded in December of 2005, moderated by Alex. So C-SPAN actually put that up 7 or 8 times. I think it had the effect of shattering the glass ceiling from public discussion of 9/11.
Anything starts the ball rolling. Last thoughts, I guess.
Final thought.
You know,
yeah.
all this stuff still matters. Sandy Hook still matters. The Boston bombing still matters. 9/11, JFK still matters. And more than anything right now, people like you matter. So I'll leave you with that, and thanks, and have a good show.
Daniel, terrific call. Thank you very, very much. Charlie in Florida. Charlie, join the conversation. Oh, Charlie dropped. Hey, we got Tom in Florida. Tom, you're welcome. Join the conversation.
Yeah, Jim, that was a good call there. That last call, Daniel, was really good. Jim, I was wondering, that was a good call. Jim, you can hear me, right?
Yes.
Well, Jim, I was wondering, does O.J. Simpson case matter? Does O.J. case matter still?
Sure.
Because I heard some very interesting stuff about O.J. You want to hear it?
Sure.
Okay, well, you know, OJ lives in here in South Florida. He used to play golf. A couple of my buddies used to play golf with him over here in South Florida. Believe it or not, he was still playing golf over here off of Kilding Green and all these other golf courses around here.
Yeah.
But I'm gonna get, I saw a documentary about OJ today that blew my mind. Did you know that OJ Simpson and Robert Kardashian were partners since 1973? Jim?
We're partners? You know that? You mean business? You mean business partners?
Yes, sir. They were business partners. And I'm going to tell you, when you hear the whole story now, they busted the case. They know exactly what happened now. Exactly what happened here, Jim, was OJ was with Robert Kardashian. And they both got divorced because Robert Kardashian, and OJ at the time was married to a black woman. And Robert Kardashian was married to Kris Kardashian. She wanted into a jacuzzi. And Robert Kardashian, when they were both drinking real heavy, Kris Kardashian stayed in the hot tub with OJ. He left. He ended up seducing her when she was drinking. And he had sex with her in the hot tub. And supposedly he had sex with her real rough. And she had to end up going to the hospital. Now, he never forgave OJ for that. And they were partners. And a week later, they both get divorced from their wives. He divorces her. O.J. divorces the black woman before he meets Nicole Brown.
Yeah.
O.J. had a black wife.
Yeah.
So this guy put the whole thing together. It was magnificent how this guy pieced this whole case together. O.J. was not the actual murderer, but he was an accessory to the murder. He was there. Goldman stabbed O.J. in the arm with a knife. An hour later, this big, heavy-set white guy was with OJ. The case, and believe it or not, Dodi Fayed would go to a nightclub where Nicole Brown and her sister and a bunch of friends would hang out. Dodi Fayed. And Dodi Fayed had bodyguards. But I didn't really follow that as much as I followed what happened at the actual murder scene. OJ, Goldman comes to bring the glasses to Nicole. He comes because she calls him at the restaurant. It was all a lie. He came into the courtyard there at the house in Brentwood, and the guy and OJ confronted him. They were trying to scare him at first, but anyway,
Who are you saying was with OJ?
This guy named, I believe his name, a white guy named Tucker. His name was a white guy. There was a white guy. He was a martial artist, and he is kind of built. He was built at the time. And he knew Nicole. Well, he was with him, and him and Goldman went at it, and he ended up stabbing Goldman. And OJ panicked, you got to watch the documentary. It's just amazing how this guy pieced this whole case together. And he ended up meeting OJ here he met OJ in Miami. He met him in Miami, and he went out partying with OJ a bunch of times, and OJ started drinking heavy with this guy. It's an amazing story. Anyway, I didn't call about that, but I just thought I'd throw it out there. I believe OJ was an accessory to the fact. There was no question about it.
OJ actually told Goldman's father that his son was very courageous. My take is a little different, Tom, that OJ was on meth, and he was extremely jealous of Nicole, and she had set up all the candles and so forth, which she did when she was going to have a romantic interlude. And when Goldman showed up, OJ was infuriated and cut him up and killed him. And Nicole came out and saw it happen. And he realized he couldn't let her be a witness. He knocked her out with hitting her on the head with the butt of his knife and then sliced her throat so thoroughly it nearly decapitated her. But OJ did it. My take.
Well,
but let's not delay on that. You give us the other story you want to cover. Go ahead.
Here's the reason I want to call you, though. You know, Jim, they just showed on the news, okay? You have Senator Marsha Blackburn. Marsha Blackburn is right now demanding that every senator that goes and votes on tomorrow when they bring the articles of impeachment against Alejandro Mayorkas, whoever doesn't vote to impeach this criminal, she's saying they need to be primaried right out the hell out of office.
Good.
Marsha Blackburn is on the news right now saying that. They don't impeach, she's wonderful. And she's even saying it, and so is Hagerty of Tennessee. Those two senators got some cojones. They're telling anybody tomorrow when they bring those articles over. They're bringing the articles over tomorrow, Johnson. And, yeah. and whoever doesn't follow through on that should be primary. Right the hell
is
out.
This is Ron Johnson and Blackburn, the two of them are saying that?
No, it was Marsha Blackburn and Bill Hagerty, the senator.
Okay, Bill Hagerty. Okay.
Ron Johnson is bringing the articles of impeachment over to the Senate yeah. tomorrow.
He is so good. I am so proud that he is my senator, Tom. I like Ron Johnson. I've met Ron Johnson. I think he's terrific. He'd be a great running mate for Trump, by the way. Let me just mention. Go on. Give us a.
He should be in the top three picks. That guy, Ron, from your senator from Wisconsin. He's great. He is great. I got to tell you this, Jim. Here's the kicker here. Now, you got this chucky communist schmucky Schumer who's got dual citizenship, this filthy Zionist. You got this Alejandro Cubano Mayorkas, wasn't even born in this country, head of DHS, whose family are Marxist communists in Cuba. You got this whole thing going down tomorrow. Now, here's the thing that's been all over the news, Jim, all over this morning. I'm surprised you haven't talked about it. You have experts in California saying that California is an actual disaster area with the medical, with everything, with all these illegals. And you got experts saying there's going to be a terrorist attack that's going to be 10 times worse than 9/11. That's what they're saying. Now, you got Chinese. You don't know who the hell's coming in this country. You don't know where hell half of them are. And you got United States outstanding senators like even Marco Rubio calling out these Chinese nationals. 80% of them are men. He's really pissed off about
that. Tell me again. What is it that I missed the story I missed this morning exactly? What is the story?
You're missing the story about the member, the people, the experts in California are predicting a massive terrorist attack with all these people from all over.
In California, you're talking about by the illegal migrants?
Yes. They don't know who's there. They know what kind of terrorists are coming in the border, but there's going to be a massive attack.
Well, we've all been worried about that. I mean, that's not really new news. You're just saying they're saying it's imminent, right? Imminent.
Yes, it's definitely imminent. It's going to happen, and we're gonna reap the repercussions of this. We already had one. Look, Jim, when that Lakeland Riley got murdered, that should have been the red signal, red line right there that every one of these people coming in this border after that day should have been that border should have been sealed with the military. That's what experts say. That border's been sealed with the military, and everyone.
Tom, we've been saying this for three effing years, for God's sake. The Biden admin is all in. This is why Mayorkas deserves to be impeached. Biden deserved to be thrown out. They all deserve to be arrested, indicted, tried, and shot. Every damn one of them.
They should be hung. No, Jim, I don't say shoot them. I say hang them on a rope.
Okay.
They should be hung on a rope, Mayorkas, what he's done. And I got to say this, Jim. When you look at it, if one more woman gets murdered by an illegal alien, I think we're going to an all-out revolution.
Tom, it's going to happen. I mean, it's inevitable. You're going to get it happening all over the place. Give me a final thought, Tom, a final thought.
Well, my final thought is, you know, you got these senators that are finally showing some balls, and it seems like most of the women in the Senate have more balls than the men. But we'll see how it plays out, because tomorrow's going to be a very important day for everybody to understand. If they do not impeach this guy, Alejandro Mayorkas, Jim, for what he's done to this country, the treasonous act, him and Biden have done, I think we got to go into a revolution. We have to.
Yeah.
And it's going to be civil war, but 100 times worse.
Tom, I think a lot of people agree with you, my friend. Good call.
How dare a president of the United States, Jim, threaten us with the United States Air Force?
Tom, thank you. We got it. You're right. Max in New York, join the conversation, Max. Max, are you there? If no Max, David in Massachusetts. David in Massachusetts.
No, there.
Max?
There.
Go ahead.
Yes. Hey, does John Lennon still matter?
Say again?
Does John Lennon still matter?
Sure. Of course. Yes.
So the burning question I've always had is, of all the women he could have possibly had on this planet, how did he end up with Yelko?
Yeah.
What's going on there? Tell me. Help me out here.
I think she was a honeypot. I think she was to manage John, and, you know, I can't tell you a lot of details. There is a wonderful video about May Ping, you know, who John had an affair
with. Yes, I discovered her a couple of years ago. She lived not too far away a few years back.
That's a really good video, actually excellent. I think Yono was some kind of plan. I think she's very, very strange. And John would have been a hell of a lot better without her. And she even arranged for Mei Bing to have this. She encouraged Mei Bing to have this affair with John. And they really got along famously. I mean,
It was probably some of his best years of his life.
Yeah, I think so, too. Yeah, that's very good. That's very good, Max. Yeah.
And she was a prolific photographer. So she has these books. And I wish I got to meet her because I didn't even know about it until like a few years ago.
Yeah.
My friend's like, yeah, man, I met this woman down in Rockland County, and she was John Lennon's girlfriend. She's got took out the book and showed us photographs. Like, she was like, you know, letting you know this is what happened, because I had no idea she even existed.
Yeah. No, I distrust Yoko Ono 100%. I don't think she's got a sincere fiber in her entire body. And I think there are all kinds of bad things related to Yoko in relation to John. And she may have even played a role in his death. That's my take.
Wow, that's pretty deep. I thought, a different angle was like he hooked up with her because I think he was really just kind of bitter and pissed off at that point, getting burned out with all the bullshit. And, you know, and here's Yoko, the most repulsive, screechy thing, sitting next to me at the piano, just to, like, throw the monkey wrench into the wood chipper. And just, like, you know, basically, F you to everybody, F you to the music business, F you to music, F you. Yoko, like, is walking F you.
Max, give us a final thought.
Ringo Starr, I mean, I thought he had the best voice of the Beatles.
That's fun, Max.
After the Beatles broke up, they all went solo and they all had their hits. Who had the most hits?
Well, Paul McCartney and Wings, of course, John. I would say. Huh?
It wasn't John.
No, after they broke up, Paul McCartney and Wings, you know, even though it's not the real James Paul McCartney, it's Billy Shears. Max, listen, I got three others here.
Let me finish. I'll answer that. It was Ringo Starr.
Well, that surprises me. I'd have to check that out. Max, let's talk about the Beatles some more another time. Call again. Dave in Massachusetts, join the conversation, Dave.
Hello, James. You haven't heard from me because I haven't been being put through to you. I call you all the time, but if they don't put me through to you.
I like your calls, Dave. I like your calls. I don't want them to block you. Go ahead.
James, what's your understanding of Donald Trump's relationship with Jeff Epstein and Ghislaine Maxwell?
I think it was innocuous. There were lots of social interaction. So you got these photographs. I don't believe Trump's a pedophile. He had beautiful women falling all over him. I think he's a decent heterosexual guy. The whole thing with E. Jean Carroll, of course, was absurd. But basically, they had some social interaction. But that was basically it, David.
Well, listen. I want to bring your attention, if you can still, you have a lot of resources, you're a resourceful guy. I've been trying to put this out. I've known about this back when Biden was running against Trump, and I put it out, gave it to Michael Rivera, the links from Forbes website. But check out the Globe tabloid, the April 1st edition of Globe tabloid.
For what year?
The current one, this year.
Oh, really?
Go ahead. Yeah. Now, listen. I've known that Melania was one of Ghislaine's girls. Melania was one of Ghislaine's girls. Of course, Trump's heterosexual. Well, Trump developed a mania for Melania. He became a Melaniac. Oh, he was obsessed with Melania. But she was one of Ghislaine's girls. And the pictures are in the Globe. I've seen these pictures, like I said, 4 years ago, back when Trump was running against Biden. And I wanted to put them out, bring them to the attention of the Republic Broadcasting, but I was talking to Rivera and he didn't want me to. He said, send them to me privately, and if they're of any validity, I'll post them on my website. But he never did, but then he got me banned. He got me banned from RBN.
You're not banned here, David. Okay, so you're saying 1 April 2024, the Globe, photographs that we're going to find shocking, suggesting Melania was one of Ghislaine's girls. I got to say, Melania, whatever her background, has just handled herself wonderfully as first lady, head and shoulders above every other, back all the way to Jacqueline Kennedy, in my opinion, David. I'm very fond of Kate Middleton, too. I thought she was, you know, William was really marrying up when he married Kate, who's now disappeared and may have been killed in a ritual sacrifice. Nick Hollister and I did a piece on the fall of the House of Windsor. Go to my BitChute channel, Jim Fetzer, and you might want to check it out. Very disturbing stuff. David, give us a final thought. Final thought, David.
The final thought, James, is I don't think you appreciate, maybe after you check it out, you'll appreciate the gravity of the situation. But the relationship between Jeff Epstein's death when President Trump was president could be compared to Alexei Navalny being found dead under President Putin. Cui bono, Epstein was killed under Trump's administration, just like Navalny was murdered under Putin's administration. But check out the pictures. Ghislaine was
David, thank you. I think Epstein is alive and well and probably sipping Mai Tais on little St. James Island he owns in the Caribbean, otherwise known as Orgy Island. David, I'm glad you got through. I'm glad you got through. I look forward to our next phone call, David. Thank you very much. Okay, 1 April 2024, the Globe. Thank you. John in Colorado. John, join the conversation.
Yeah, hi, Jim. Good show. You're talking earlier about voting and people, I hear that even some hosts on RBN said, I'm not going to vote anymore and all that. But no one ever asked why they don't want to. And I think, you know, if they made it where you'd have no cheating, falsifying, everything like that, you know, and give them paper ballots where they go back to vote. And if they don't, they're crazy. So I said, that's the problem. Yep.
John, listen, call again tomorrow. James Vancouver, James, North Carolina, call me tomorrow. I'll get you on the air. Meanwhile, everyone, spend as much time as you can with your family, your friends, and people you love and care about. We do not know how much time we have left, and support RBN.
Thank you, Jim.
Yep, Julie.